700 BC. They're not quite sure. Now, there was a lot of division at the time between God's people. A lot of disunity. Because the tribes of Israel were following King Saul, who'd been anointed, but he had become evil at this time. And the people of Judah were following David, and he was anointed by Samuel with a good heart, as you know. Now, Saul had been killed by the Philistines in battle while wounded, and he fell on his sword. So the king Saul is dead. And all Israel, amazingly, come over to David and say, "You're bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, and the Lord called you to be king." It's amazing what they said, even though they'd been with Saul. And so they anoint him and make him king. It's fulfilled at last what was said to David. Now, David needs a fortress. He's a king. He wants a fortress on a hill. And so he goes and he takes Jebus. And he conquers it. And he calls it, it's actually Zion. And he calls it the City of David. And we know it today as Jerusalem. But what about the ark? Well, the ark had been, the presence of God had been captured 20 years previously. And the Philistines wanted to put it in their temple. Now they did, and they put it by Dagon, the fish god. And in the morning, Dagon was flat on the floor because he was next to God. So they stood up Dagon. Now the next morning, Dagon was flat on the floor. This time his head had come up and his hands had broken off as well. What does that say? And then all the Philistines started getting horrible tumors everywhere. They were being cursed, really. And after 7 months of these tumors and bad things happening, and rats, I think, as well, they had had enough. And they wanted the ark gone, so they sent it back. And it was kept at Abinadab's house on a hill. I think he was from a Levitish family. So they consecrated his son to look after it. On the way there, somebody had looked inside it at Beth Shemesh, and 50,000 people died for opening it. This was not the presence of God that you mess with. So now we're going to read. If you've got your own Bible, that's good. If you want one, there's some next to Shane and Eileen. Put your hand up. If you'd rather read from the screen, we'll do that. So it's the second book of Samuel, chapter 6, please. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God. Could you make it a little bit bigger, please?
No, they can't.
Okay. Whose name is called the name the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the son of Abinadab, drove the new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps and string instruments, on tambourines and sistrums, and on cymbals. Next bit, please. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. And he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained there in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. The next page. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and he brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was when those hearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. And then David dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, that was his wife, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. And then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude, both women and men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants as one of the base fellows. Shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you've spoken, by them I will be held in honor." Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Thank you. I hope you followed that. No apologies for reading the Word of God. How is David feeling? He was king at last. The promises fulfilled. He was excited. He was full of praise. He wanted to celebrate and everyone join in with him. In fact, he was going to have what we would call a praise party. And he was organizing a procession with the ark. That's what he wanted. So he'd primed up the musicians, the singers, the dancers. He'd prepared lots of gifts ready for them. And he'd made a tent, tabernacle. He'd worked his socks off. So what went wrong? Uzzah was struck down dead. How does David feel now? Did you spot it? Two things. He was angry with God. It's okay to be angry sometimes, isn't it? And he was afraid of the ark. And I think that for the 3 months that passed then, he didn't have anything to do with the ark. He was thinking, praying, trying to work it out. And I believe he went back to the law about the ark in Exodus 25. You see, the law said about the ark, only the priests should carry it, and only by the poles on their shoulders, and it should never be touched by hands, and the poles should never be removed. So, was David treating God lightly? I don't think so. Was he full of himself too much? I don't think so. He was rejoicing in God. But had he forgotten God's laws a little bit? Yes, I think maybe he had. So, whose fault was it? Was it David's? The priests, the people, the elders? Whose fault was it? Uzzah was dead. And I want to say now, leaders, you elders, please watch over us that we don't go off the road and get it wrong. Do we respect God enough? Do we fear him? Do we take him lightly? We mustn't, folks. I mustn't. Do we know his laws? Because if we don't even know them, we can't keep them. Let's get back to the Word of God. You know, do we know those Ten Commandments we saw? God is sovereign, isn't he? And at any moment he chooses, he can send the lightning, the fire, the flood, earthquake, death and death. Any moment he wishes, he's sovereign. So, don't touch anything in your life. Don't touch anything that God has said, don't touch.
Amen.
Don't say, well, these days, it doesn't matter anymore. Yes, brothers and sisters, it matters. Jesus' blood saved us, but how we live is how we love him. It still matters. It really does. And what is wrong can never be right. He is holy. He is our creator. And we must honour and respect him. And when we get to the New Testament, you think, you might say, oh, well, that's the Old Testament. Now, Peter, in the first book of Peter, he says to new believers, be holy. Even, and then he quotes the Old, and he said, God told you, be holy, even as I am holy. And that's Peter. Now, I know we're not perfect. I'm sure no one would put their hand up here and say they're perfect. We know we need the blood of Jesus and forgiveness. But we must not come to worship. We're talking about this in the week with someone. With hidden sin. We just sung, with you nothing is hidden. We must not come to God with hidden, secret sin. Okay? We must not come to God with deliberately chosen sin ways, sinful ways in our life. I'm going to do this anyway. No, we can't come to God with those. We need instead to confess to God those things. Maybe confess to people that we trust. Get some help and humble ourselves. You see, even the priests had to be clean and washed before they went to God, before they went to the people to do things, before they went to the ark. Even they had to wash. And I brought with me today some oil called nard from Jerusalem. And I thought at the end we could use it for anointing for different things. We can anoint today for confession and cleaning, cleansing, for receiving the Holy Spirit, or for healing your bodies. Now, we heard that Michael, his wife, despised him. David, to dance without restriction, had to get off his long kingly robes, and he danced in his undergarments. Wow! He didn't want to be restricted, but she accused him of being base, below his station. You don't do this, you're the king. And really, she was ashamed of him, but she hid it by saying, what are those young women going to think of you? It made me think, you know, will Jesus dance? In fact, does Jesus dance? I've never thought of that before. But do we sometimes look down on others, on their method, their way of worshipping? We've got many here. Do we actually, might we even despise somebody or the way they do it, the way they worship? Are we embarrassed like Michael was? I think it's great when all the instruments, you know, are loud and we're dancing and we're singing and we're hallelujahing and we're praising him and we're singing in tongues. I think it's great to see you all worshipping God. Now, 3 months later, as we said, David decides to have a second procession. And this time he gets it right. The priests are carrying the ark. They are carrying it by the poles on their shoulders, and they are not touching it with their hands like Uzzah tried to. And David, after 6 steps of the procession, just 6, he realizes not getting struck down by God, and he praises and he offers sacrifices and offerings. Oh, thank you, God. And he blesses all the people. And he gives them all gifts. He gives them all some meat. Have I got my stick now? So you're all going to have a gift when you go out the door. He gave them all a raisin cake. We got some raisin, a whole loaf of bread. Well, I haven't bought 50 loaves of bread, and a piece of meat. Okay. He wanted to bless his people. It was a special time. So then, when he's gone home, he gets it in the neck from his wife. And Michael said, these are the reasons why I dance before the Lord, play my instruments. It was because he wanted to be abandoned to God. And these are the reasons. And it struck me that these reasons should be our reasons. This is what he said. Your reasons, my reasons, David's. It's for the Lord. Because I am chosen. You are chosen. Did you know that? Chosen to worship him. David said, I'm appointed to rule the peoples. You're chosen to rule the peoples. Therefore, said David, I will play music before him and dance, and I will be held in honor for obeying and doing this. So Sundays we come to give, not to get. And like David, Jesus will pour out his gifts on us as we worship him. I really believe that. You know, people say, I received a new gift today. I was just praising the Lord. new gifts from the Lord. But we have to be careful, don't we, to not judge one another, instead rejoice. We had a friend called Phil Perryman many years ago, and in our church there, nobody ever put their hands up. It was never seen. And this guy, Phil, he'd become born again, and he was full of the Holy Spirit, and the next Sunday, there he was, praising the Lord. And the elders got together and they said, can't have this. We better choose someone who gets on well with him to ask him never to do it again. It's my husband. John didn't approve of what the elders said, but he delivered the message. Phil never came to church there again. He found a church that wanted to really let go and praise the Lord. Then, you know, the Toronto revival, some people criticised it because there were funny noises like roaring and barking and all this stuff going on. Folks, we need to be careful. We might be criticising the Holy Spirit. No, we've got the Salvation Army. Bah, they're too noisy. And then we've got the Quakers. They're too quiet. They just sit silent. But it's sincerity of heart that matters. And all those denominations, how they worship, matters to God. So, I love, if you want to know, the United Church's events, like tent missions and Pentecost parties and spring harvest. And when I was born again, it happened at a United Christian event. I didn't know hardly anybody. And it was wonderful. It was in Birmingham. And you know, the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, even some people there criticised, said, call yourselves godly, you're all drunk. So, where is God's presence today? Well, it's not in an altar, or an altar rail, or a statue, or a cathedral, or shrines in Israel. Where is God's presence? You know.
In our hearts.
In our hearts. Brilliant. Woo! God's presence is in you. God's presence is in me. We are the temples, it says, of the Holy Spirit. So how should you treat me? And how should I treat you? If Jesus is in you, I've got to handle you with care and honour and respect. I must tell you the truth. You must tell me the truth. The most important thing about worship that matters is that we focus on Jesus. Forget ourselves and what we're doing, what people are looking at. Doesn't matter. Focus on Jesus. He needs to be the centre because we love him. It doesn't matter if things are out of tune or somebody can't sing on tune. It doesn't matter anything, does it? Doesn't matter if someone's jumping up and down, being too noisy. It doesn't matter whether I can kneel or I can't. And I can't because my knees hurt. You know, it doesn't matter whether we can't speak in tongues. It's just good to be abandoned to God in worship, to give him all we've got without fear, to be released. And I want to speak release today, Lord. I call for release in worship today. You know, we go sometimes to House of the Open Door, and on Friday night, they are so free in using the gifts of God, the different gifts. Whenever, you don't have to ask permission. And this one lady that lived there, she said, this sounds crazy, but God's telling me to do a gamble. I'm so excited about God. And she did her gambon, and guess what? Others joined in. It was a wonderful night. Now, when Jesus returns, he's not coming as a lamb. Sorry, folks. He looks, it says in Revelation, as though a slain lamb, but he is coming as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And this is Johnny's t-shirt. Johnny's t-shirt, okay? I got him in Jerusalem, I bought it for him. That's how Jesus is coming. He's coming in power. And the ungodly will immediately fear him. One day, my friend Sheila, she'd just become a new Christian, we're on the ladies' retreat, walking along the grass outside, enjoying the sun, and I said, Sheila, you know, when Jesus comes back, he's coming back in power. And one word from his mouth could destroy a nation. And suddenly, she was on the floor, on the grass. And so I sat and I said, Sheila, have you tripped over? No. Are you feeling ill? No. She said, when you talked about the power of God, my knees just gave way. All the power went from my knees. You know, it says that at his return, every knee will bow. And in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, which was going to be next week, which can't do, we see the Lion of Judah. And what are they doing? They're giving him glory, honour, power and praise. So we're going to do that now with one more song.